عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. صدق الله العظيم. وقال الله تعالى أيضا: قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. صدق الله العظيم ورسوله النبي الكريم. الحمد لله. Brothers, I have recited for you two surahs, short surahs of the Quran, which deal with the subject at hand. Our subject for this year of Ramadan Mubarak, coinciding with Sunday, the 7th of Ramadan of the year 1411 to the Hijrah, which is equivalent to the 24th of March 1991. Title is Shaitan's Plan for Man. In Arabic, Maka'idu Shaitan. The Maka'id, the plans, the tricks, the schemes of Shaitan. We are going to deal with this subject in various ways, and the divisions are going to be as follows. The plan and the schedule of the lessons is, firstly, we're going to deal with the creation of man under three subtitles. The first one being the purpose of man in creation, and this will involve two ayat of the Quran being quoted in substantiation and in corroboration. The second part will be man's life is a test. Also, two ayat of the Quran in substantiation. And the third part or subtitle is man's weaknesses. And in this, I will quote 9 ayat in support from the Quran. That is chapter 1. We will then proceed to chapter 2 of today's talk, which deals with the jinn. And under this chapter, we will deal with creation of jinn and comparison between man and jinn. And there will be 4 ayat of the Quran in support. Then we proceed to the third chapter, which will deal with how shaitan deceives man. And in this, in support, will be quoted 15 ayat from the Quran. 15 ayat from the Quran. Chapter 4 we will then thereafter proceed to, and I hope to do all this today. Chapter 4 will deal with Shaitan is man's open enemy, and this will, I will quote in support, that Shaitan is man's open enemy. 4 ayat from the Quran. We then proceed, hopefully today, to chapter 5, which deals with Shaitan's plan for man and how Shaitan can be overcome by man. And in this, I hope to deal with 9 ayat of the Quran. And lastly, we will then proceed to the sixth chapter, which deals with Shaitan's betrayal of man. And in this we will deal with four ayat of the Quran. And next week on Sunday after Salatul Dhuhr will follow the second part of this talk, and we will then commence with the story of Shaitan, which deals with going back right from the beginning of the story of Shaitan, from the origins. We'll take up the story from there. The reason why I've done this is to give you a better idea of who we are dealing with, what kind of an enemy is Shaitan. Therefore, I've chosen all these various parts of the Quran so that there remains no doubt in your mind as to how powerful an enemy Shaitan is to man. After this introduction, we send darood and salam, salutations and blessings upon Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and upon his family and upon his companions, the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain. Chapter 1, Creation of Man. And the first subtitle, The Purpose of Man in Creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Surah Zumar, 39th Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 9. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Say, are those who know equal to those who do not know? Are those who know, who have knowledge, equal to those who lack such knowledge? Are the learned equal to the ignorant? This is a question posed in the Quran by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to man. And it touches on the point of creation with which we are dealing. The intelligent, the learned, and the wise believers, mu'mineen, salihin, muslimin, can definitely not be compared with their opposite, which means the ignorant, the unthinking, and the foolish peoples of the world. Who are the people that are knowledgeable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are they the people that are well versed in the arts and sciences of the world, with no or very little Islamic knowledge? Or are they the people who fear and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of the Islamic knowledge which they possess? The point here is that knowing is important, knowledge is important, but at the same time, knowing the right things, having the right kind of knowledge, and acting upon it with certainty, with faith, and with confidence. That is the most important of all. To possess this essential and this vital knowledge, we have to turn, without option, without choice, to Quran and Sunnah, which are the two fundamental sources of knowledge at the disposal of man. And thus they are a must for every adult Muslim, male and female alike. In summary, what I mean hereby is that knowing Quran and Sunnah is the basis of all knowledge in the world. Put it another way, it means that Tawheed and Risalat are the cornerstones of all knowledge in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Pak elsewhere, Qul hal yastawil a'ma wal basir, am hal tastawi zulumatu wan nur. Surah Ra'd, 13th surah of the Quran, ayat number 16, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can the blind and the seeing be equal, or can darkness be equal to light? Subhanallah. A further two questions. The first question, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala posed unto man in the Quran, are the learned and the ignorant people, are they equal? Here again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses in Surah Ra'd two further questions for us to think and ponder upon, to reflect and meditate upon. And these are, can the blind and the seeing be reckoned to be equal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then follows that up with, can darkness and light be equal? Knowledge is received through sight, through sound, and through light. With knowledge comes true belief, moderate and balanced action, and rightful and faithful practices, which help to remove the darkness of ignorance, remove lethargy and the laziness of man, removes idealism, the various ideals that we have and hold, and true knowledge replaces them with inner sight, with inner vision, with perception, and with illumination. We call it nur. Al-ilmu nurun. All forms of doubt, skepticism, and cynicism, as well as the pride, the conceit, and the bigotry, and the hypocrisy that generally is generated by the worldly sciences based on matter, are removed. And with true knowledge, human weaknesses are realized and recognized and overcome. And man becomes strong and confident from within, internally. And he becomes totally obedient and completely dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He becomes, through true knowledge, master of his desires and fancies. He is not diverted by temptations. He is not misled by his passions and his emotions. He submits willingly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll put in another word, he submits unquestioningly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He surrenders himself totally to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, true knowledge, through it, he fears none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through true knowledge gained, he believes in none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through true knowledge, he follows carefully and diligently the teachings of Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He shows every regard and every formal respect for the Khulafa Ar-Rashidain and the Sahaba-e-Karam Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in. And he shows due respect towards the Awliya, the Ulama, and the Asatiza of this deen, this religion of Islam. It is then that we can say that such a person has obtained true knowledge, true sight, true sound, and true light. He has found his nick in life, and he proceeds to build it up and to develop it. All the knowledge he has becomes subservient to the Holy Quran and to the sacred Sunnah. It is by the Quran and Sunnah that he is directed and that he is guided in all matters. And it is Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he chooses to please throughout his life. That was the first part, which dealt with the purpose of man. And now secondly, also under the first title of the creation of man, we deal with man's life is a test in this world. What I mean thereby, under this one, the purpose of man in creation, what I have tried to show is that man's ultimate purpose in this world is to acquire true knowledge in order to worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is knowledge. Only one aim and objective of knowledge, and that is that we learn to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as only Allah can be and should be worshipped, to the exclusion of all others. We do know that life is a test in this world. Man's life in this world is a test, and man has the right in this world to make a choice. Man is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man is sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man lives by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man dies by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will finally be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll repeat this, just think about it. Compare ourselves and whatever authority and power we as human beings, as man wield, as compared to the power and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man also realized thereby of what significance and what portent are you. What real power do you have? What authority do you have? The point being made here is that since we have no power and no authority, therefore we are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all Abdullah, the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like it or not, we have no option in this matter but to surrender and to submit completely to the will and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have no option but to be obedient to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He unto whom He has sent us as a guide, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do not have a choice in this matter. And in spite of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His beneficence, in His mercy, in His compassion, in His magnanimity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has yet given man the right to choose. Subhanallah. We can never understand how Allah is Rahman and how Allah is Rahim. And in spite of being given this choice, man yet is dutifully bound not to consider any other option or alternative than that of surrendering and submitting completely, peacefully, willingly to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he makes that choice, of course he has won through, he has gained, he's been successful. But man is created by Allah ta'ala. No choice in his creation. He has no authority over his own creation, over how he is born and how he thereafter grows into manhood. Has he any choice? No choice. No authority. He cannot, from an old man, become a younger man, from an ugly man, become a beautiful man, a handsome man, or vice versa. He has no choice in this matter. Has any one of us a choice? No. If we do not have, then there is one who has the right to decide, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah authorizes, and Allah ordains, and Allah commands, then man, you and I have no choice in the matter. For our Creator and our Sustainer has already chosen for us. And He has blandly put it, that you follow the way that I have shown you, you obey my commandments, for I have created you. I sustain you. You live by my willpower. I allow you to live. I will you to live, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will will you to die. When to die, that will you do not possess. That is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will and I will judge. The final judgment will be by me. You have no choice in the entire course of your life. In no profound matter do you have any kind of a choice. Therefore, man must think very carefully and choose wisely in this world, for this is the only earthly life he will have. Wallah, you will never get another chance again. Make the right choice, for you will never get this choice again. And we are seated here, holy month of Ramadan. We are fasting, our minds are open. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that these thoughts of Quran, that these what are being enunciated here, that these reach us and touch our hearts and make us realize we cannot and must not go on in disobedience and in rebellion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ahkam and orders. We need to live in obedience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us, inshallah. Therefore, man must think carefully and choose wisely in this world, for this is the only earthly existence, the only earthly life he will have. Would the end of the human race, which means we're talking about extinction of the human race, that will be the end of the world. the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the last and the final ummah in the world. There will not be another human creation after this one. With the death, men enter the hereafter and the world is no more. It is for the hereafter, therefore, that men should live, and not for this world and its pleasures and its temptations and its glories and its delights. They must live as Allah Ta'ala wants them to live and not as they desire to live. They must live according to the sunnah of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I repeat again, our creator, our sustainer, the all-powerful, that is how he wants men to live. Only then will men be saved. Only then will mankind be saved. Otherwise, we will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The test of reason is that man has been created weak. We come to a point now, we've said some very beautiful things about this human creation. And yet this human creation in mold, in fabric, in design, he is very, very weak. Poke a man in his eyes and he will go blind. Give him a hard punch and you're likely to harm him and injure him. Throw him from a height and he will crash and break all his bones. Man can't survive. Man is so weak. He has great stature, yes. He is noble in his creation, yes. He is an honorable creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highly respected, most respected. And yet, look at him. Give him a hard jolt, he's likely to die. Let him be involved in an accident, he's full of injuries. He lies in hospital for long periods. He is so weak that he continuously falls sick. So what have we got? What have we got to be proud about? What have we got to boast of? All glory and all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had we any power of our own, had we any cause for praising ourselves, then we would have praised ourselves. But we do not have any cause or any reason for being proud of ourselves. Pride is not for man. Pride has no place in a man's life. The point here is, man is weak. Let us admit to our weakness and then submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Allah becomes our wakil, our protector and our guardian. And if we have Allah as our protector and our guardian, then of course nobody can touch us. That is where this power of man will be derived from. The test of reason is that man has been created weak. The test of faith is that man can overcome his weaknesses and become spiritually so strong and so powerful through submission to the will of Allah Ta'ala and by closely following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also by guarding against sin and evil, which is taqwa, and through acts of piety and charity, that he becomes the highest and the finest in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One word, humility. When man practices humility, then he surrenders and submits to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is when the glory of man, the nobility of man shines forth and comes forth, and an inner power emerges. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. Surah Bani Israel 17, Surah of the Quran, ayat number 70, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have indeed honored the children of Adam. We have indeed honored the children of Adam, and we have carried them over land and over sea, and we have given them of excellent things, and we have exalted them far above many of those that we have created, with a preference, meaning by granting this man many favors. Man arises above the rest of creation when he believes in one Allah, in the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he believes in the final Rasul of Allah ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we call that Risalat. And in the accountability in the hereafter. When he believes in accountability in the hereafter, we call that akhirah. And he submits to these. Three basic requirements. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have made man an honorable creation. How? Based upon these requirements, these demands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man rises above the rest of creation when he believes in Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat. There is no other way. Wallah al-Quran, there is no other way but one way. Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat. A Christian can be as honest and as noble as he wants to, or a Jew, or a Hindu, or a Buddhist. People of any other religion besides Islam can be the finest, the best. But unless and until they have belief in Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ does not apply to them. Only when man, in general man accepts and believes and submits, only then is he karramna. Only then does he deserve the honor that is the right of man. He accepts these, man accepts these, then also we must accept Tawheed and Risalat and Akhirat through reason, this wonderful reason that Allah has bestowed upon man. And he makes these three things I have mentioned, he makes them his faith. Man rises as he recognizes and realizes this point. All through his life, he grows. Man gains as he surrenders to this. True beauty of life comes through contentment of thought, through peace of mind, which he acquires through these beliefs. Life's will must be sacrificed to God's will. Life's will, man's will, life's will must be sacrificed to God's will. If man, through the pumping and puffing of his ego, doubts, refutes, or rejects the stand of reason and faith, which is the very basis of his existence on earth, then he falls, he diminishes, and he reduces himself. The Quran Majid says, Summa radadnahu asfala safilin. Surah 3, 95th surah of the Quran, ayat number 5, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Summa radadnahu asfala safilin. Then we reduce him, we reduce man to the lowest of the low. Man, you can go to the highest of the high, and yet the potential is within you to reduce yourselves to the lowest of the low, the basest of the base, the vilest of the vile, the most evil in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most noble or the most evil. The third part of the first chapter was titled Man's Weaknesses, in which I will quote to you 9 ayat of the Quran. And they are as follows. The Quran Majid clearly mentions the major weaknesses in man, and these, without true faith and practice, become major obstacles in his passage through life. We need to be aware of them, and we must constantly guard ourselves from falling victim of them. Quran is not just a book with a beautiful writing and beautiful preaching. Quran is a book of application, of learning, of educating ourselves, of gaining true knowledge. The various ayat that I'm reciting to you are there, each one chosen for a specific purpose. And each one is for a lesson, to give us a lesson about ourselves and to enrichen us as far as knowledge, true knowledge that Allah wants us to have, that we need to possess. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing man, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانَ ضَعِيفًا. Surah Nisa, 4th surah of the Quran, ayat number 28. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانَ ضَعِيفًا. Allah has created man infirm, weak. Allah created man infirm. Allah created man weak. ضَعِيف. Second ayat, Innal insana lazalumun kaffar. Surah Ibrahim, 14th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 34, says Allah Ta'ala, verily, man is very unjust. Man is very ungrateful. Brothers, these are not words of condemnation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is to make us aware, these are the weaknesses with which we have been constructed and designed and built by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we have been created. This is the creation of man. We are weak in our creation, and I've just a little earlier pointed out to you how weak we are. Yes, we are weak. We are made of weak material. Our bones shatter, they break. This flesh, if you cut it, it bleeds. It can bleed itself to death. We are all aware if a person is terminally ill, there's hardly a chance for him to survive. After a period, he's got to die. Leave everything else, all of us got to die. The fact that we are going to die proves that we are weak. No matter, a person may never be sick throughout his life and never be injured in his whole life, he will not escape death. Death is a point of weakness in man. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man is created weak, infirm, man is very unjust, and he is very ungrateful. Know this, that we are so. As we say, there are 99 attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also have certain qualities, and these are our qualities as described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid. And if we know this, we're going to deal with shaitan just now, then we will know how to deal with shaitan. We must recognize our weaknesses. And it is upon these weaknesses that our enemy preys. So we've got to know. And praise, P-R-E-Y-S, praise. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانَ ضَعِيفًا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the third ayat I'm about to quote, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ قَتُورًا وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ قَتُورًا. Surah Bani Israel, 17th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 100. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and man is very covetous. Subhanallah. By nature we are selfish and we are greedy. This is our quality. We are naturally guilty of this. We are greedy. But can we overcome it? Yes, otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have told us that these are our qualities. That He, Allah has created us thus. Are we going to submit? And yet Allah Ta'ala says, you submit to my commandments. We must submit to Allah Ta'ala. And yet Allah has created us in this weak mold. Any blame upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Na'udhu billah, never. There's hikmah involved. Man, you are the most noble creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have that which no other creation has. You have that mind, you have that reason, you have that one wonderful creative aspect in your being that raises you above the rest of creation. You may be in design and in construction weak. Accept that. But Allah Ta'ala has given you the powers to overcome. We are basically animal, are we not? Homo sapien. We are animals, basically. But what makes us humans? What gives us dignity? Our faith, our belief in Allah, our belief in one Allah. Let us be more accurate. Our belief in Tawheed. Allah is one and only one and hath no partner. La ilaha illallah. What gives us dignity in spite of our weaknesses? Our faith, our reason, our belief that our guide is Sayyidina Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What else? Also what I mentioned, the third factor that gives us dignity and lends us nobility and respectability, and that is that we are going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and held accountable for our actions in this world. Accountability in the hereafter with Allah as our judge, our master. This is what gives us nobility. This is what removes us from the domain of the animals. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ قَتُورًا. And man by nature is very covetous. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fourth ayat coming out, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْسَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. This is Surah Kahf, 18th surah of the Quran, ayat number 54, and man is very contentious. Subhanallah, very argumentative. He loves debates. He likes to argue. He is a contentious being. Naturally so. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the fifth ayah, I am pointing to some of the weaknesses of man mentioned in the Quran for the purposes of this particular lesson. Fifth ayah, innal insanu khulika halu'a. Says Allah ta'ala in Surah Ma'arij, 70th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 19. Verily, man is born very impatient. Innal insanu khulika halu'a. Man is born very impatient. Always in a hurry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and over in the Quran reminds us we must make sabr. Wallahu ma'as sabirin. And over, the virtues of sabr and the rewards of sabr have been mentioned. What is the reason? Because man, our quality is that we are impatient. Always hasty. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sixth ayat coming up. Wakana al-insanu ajula. Surah Bani Israel, 17th surah of the Quran, ayat number 11. And man is very hasty. Seventh ayat coming up. Wakana al-insanu kafura. Also Surah Bani Israel, 17th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 67 says Allah Ta'ala, and man is very ungrateful. Several times Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says this. And if you page through the Quran or recite the Quran, go through it, you will find how many times Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has mentioned, time and time again, about the ungratefulness, the ingratitude, the ungraciousness of man. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. Man is very ungrateful. Says Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, 8th ayat of the Quran coming up. Innal insanu lakafurum mubin. Surah Zukhruf, 43rd surah of the Quran, ayat number 15 says Allah Ta'ala, verily, inna, those who know Arabic will know, inna is a word that is applied with emphasis, and we translate it, we say, verily, absolutely, with absolute certainty, undoubtedly, innal insanu lakafurum mubin. Verily, man is a clear ingrate. Subhanallah. Brothers, you sit back and think about ourselves. Think about ourselves. Why not reflect on our own personalities and our own characteristics? How ungrateful we are, each one of us. And how often we are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the kindnesses, the mercies and compassion which Allah ta'ala has shown upon us. And the last 9th ayat coming up to show human weaknesses is the following. Innal insanu lafi khusrin. Surah Asr, 103rd surah of the Quran, ayat number 2, Allah Ta'ala says, verily, man, you are in a state of loss. Subhanallah. You are in a state of loss. No Allah, no Rasul, no Akhirah. No belief in one Allah, obviously then no obedience to one Allah. If you have many gods, you have to obey many gods. If you have a son of God, and you have a Holy Ghost, and you have a Holy Father, or you have Lord Buddha, and you have Lord Shiva, and Rama, and a trillion others, who are you going to, and how are you going to follow order? Where is there going to be discipline in faith? Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, innal insanu lafi khusrin. Verily, man is in a state of loss, unless he is guided. Look how we overcome. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Look at the child after he is born. Helpless. He's a jahil, the child. He's got no education. He's totally uneducated. Alphabet has to be taught. Allah's name has to be taught. Everything has to be taught from scratch. The child knows nothing at all whatsoever. The child remains helpless. It has no control over its bowels. It has no control over itself. Messes itself, it needs to be cleaned and so on. This is going to grow up into an honorable human being, but without the guidance of the mother, without the care and the love of the parents, brothers, sisters, family, the child is helpless totally. Now exactly in the same way, understand that child may grow up into manhood, into adulthood. If that child grows up and has no Allah, and has no Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no belief in Akhirah, then that person, that child that has grown up into a person, is as helpless as that child, as it was as a child. So this word, innal insanu lafi khusrin, applies not only to a child, it applies to a man that does not believe, a grown-up human, an adult, male and female, who does not believe in Allah, one Allah, and does not submit to one Allah, who does not believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and follow the teachings and the guidance of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also one who does not believe in Akhirah as Quran requires him to believe. Then what are they? In a state of loss. Yes, even the Muslim who believes but does not apply, he is also in a state of loss, for he hath not held on to guidance. In the light of the above verses of the Holy Quran, man has numerous deficiencies, shortcomings, and imperfections in his created mould. These being part of his nature, of his constitution, with true belief and righteous action, that is to say, with Iman and Islam, with the guidance of Quran and Sunnah, and by following the Sharia of Islam, and only through these means and none other can man overcome these naturally endowed weaknesses and drawbacks and attain to greater heights and to a life of greater achievement and fulfillment without being governed and directed by Quran and Sunnah and without true belief and righteous action. Nobody, though he possess all the worldly learning, all the worldly craft, all the worldly power, and all the worldly wealth, will succeed in overpowering his nafs, his self, his human ego, and attaining to true honor and deserving respect, not only of men, of fellow men, but of the rest of creation as well, not only in the world, but in the hereafter also. We are only a minute part of a vast creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man, we are the least in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are a minority, in numbers I'm talking. We are a minority, not in our nobility, not in the honor that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon us. I'm talking in numbers. We are a small proportion of the creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And this minute and small zygotic proportion in numbers, in population of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, we have been granted the greatest honor and the most nobility by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We are also close to being the weakest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that gift, that quality that makes us the most powerful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, providing we exercise and use that. The Quran Majid states that man has the following imperfections. To summarize, we are infirm, we humans are extremely ingrate and impatient, we are covetous, contentious, very, very ungrateful. Let's use the word extremely ungrateful. We are impatient. We are covetous. We are contentious. Very, very ungrateful. And we are in a state of loss. Without guidance, man will not know what to do and how to live and how to conduct himself. For his guidance and direction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran epoch and sent his messenger, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That ends chapter 1. We started with these words and we end with these words. We started with the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Akhirah. And chapter 1 ends with these words. Chapter 2, we talk now about the jinn. Who else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mankind are aware of the strength and weaknesses of men? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, Allah ta'ala made us, Allah ta'ala designed us, proportioned us, molded us, gave life unto us, sustains us, allows us to live in the world and eventually die, go into our qabrs, and of course alim barzakh and alim akhirah. All this by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who else in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows human weaknesses? Who else of the creation of Allah? There is a myriad creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who else besides man and Allah, besides Allah and man, knows the human weaknesses. There are two. One is the angels, malaikas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the jinnat, the jinn creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The malaikas are aware of the weaknesses in the human mold and in the human nature and the human constitution. Also, the jinn, our partners in creation, they are also aware, fully aware of the weaknesses in man. These are two other and different creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels operate completely under the will and the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the angels have no power of volition. That means they do not have the right of choice, they do not have the right of determination. They cannot determine or choose anything for themselves. They have, we say, no power of volition. And they have no free will. They cannot exercise their will. They have no, in other words, they cannot say yes or no. They cannot accept and reject. Of choice. So, in this two creation, jinn and angel, we look at the angels. Angels know human weaknesses. They are aware of it, fully informed about the weaknesses of human beings. So we say the angels operate completely under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have no power of volition and no free will. The jinns, on the other hand, we come now to the jinns. Our subject is not the malaika, so we will not expand upon that. The jinns, on the other hand, are a creation of Allah Ta'ala that do have volition and that do exercise free will and are subject to the same beliefs and practices as mankind, as men. In other words, they must also be obedient to the same commandments of Allah Ta'ala as man. They differ from the angels, who are made of light, of nur, in that they are created of fire, in that jinns are created of fire, and men are created of clay. Men and jinn, therefore, due to their powers of reasoning, and their various faculties and abilities, and their powers to determine and to choose, are subject to the commandments of Allah Ta'ala, and to the teachings and sunnah mubarak of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Men and jinn are brothers and sisters in belief and practice, and both men and jinn live in and occupy planet Earth. So we basically look at three substances: light, fire, and clay. Of light, or nur, angels are made or created. Of fire, jinn are created, and of clay, men are created. Angels live in the heavens, and men and jinn occupy planet Earth. Men, therefore, should have extensive knowledge about the jinn. But men do not. Why? Much of the information we have about the jinns is incorrect. Much is based on hearsay. Some is legendary, or obtained through legends. Some are mystical. Much of it is mythical. We fear the jinn because we lack true knowledge about them. We fear the jinn because we know that they are very powerful, yet they are invisible and invisible. And also because we do not know how to build up our own strength, or we are too lazy to do so. We recognize that the jinns are a powerful entity and a powerful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do recognize that, most of us know that. We also know that they are imperceivable, that they are invisible, we cannot see them. But we know that they are very powerful, and many of us believe that they are stronger than us, stronger than man, I mean. But to further pursue and find out, وَلَكَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, man, I have created you the finest in creation. Yes, meaning also the most powerful in creation. And yet we do not make an attempt to find out how to gain such power over the jinns. and obviously over the shayateen, as we will learn as we proceed. These series of lessons are planned and designed over the 4 Sundays after Dhuhr Salah of the holy month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. These series of lessons are planned and designed to fill this gap in our knowledge and to help us to know ourselves as human beings and to know the jinns, our partners in this world, better, and hopefully to make us cope better with our lives through such knowledge. True knowledge is precious. It is a rare gift. It widens the mind and it broadens the horizons. It broadens the vision. It makes one spiritually and mentally healthy. It is purifying and edifying. It is with this in mind that I dedicate these series of lessons on Shaitan's plan for man to the fondest memory of my mother, who died 6 years ago to this very day, and to all our mothers everywhere that have passed away. And I dedicate the series of lessons to my ustads, those pious souls and dedicated beings at whose feet I sat and acquired these humble crumbs of knowledge that I have been delivering for the last quarter of a century. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rest them all in peace and reward them with the highest place in Jannah. Ameen. We proceed now with the creation of jinn. Under chapter 2, we proceed with the creation of jinn, and we look also at the same time, we make a comparison of man and jinn. 4 ayat in support. The Quran mentions the creation of the jinns in the following words: وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونٍ وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ. Surah Hijr, 15th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 26 and 27. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have created man from dry sounding clay of black mud, formed into shape, and we had created before man the jinn of subtle fire. Let's look at this again. In fact, there are only 2 ayats in the Quran that clearly indicate and tell us the story of how Allah Ta'ala has created the jinns. But the 2 are sufficient. They serve their purpose. The first ayat is the one which I have quoted now to you, in which Allah Ta'ala says, and I may mention here for your edification, that the jinns vastly outnumber, I emphasize the word, vastly outnumber the human creation of Allah Ta'ala in this world. There are many, many more jinns in this world than what there are human beings. And to all intents and purposes, it appears that the human creation is the least in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the least in number. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونَ وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ. We, says Allah Ta'ala, have created man from dry sounding clay of black mud, formed into shape. And we have created before man the jinn of subtle fire. And the commentators, I agreed that the word naris samum means like a hot dry wind. Not the actual fire that you and I, but the heat of that fire. The heat that is near the fire, that heat that the fire generates, like the hot dry wind, from that is created shaitan. From fire, basically the fire is there, but from the heat that comes from the fire, from that is shaitan created, or at least jinn created. In another ayat, which is in Surah Ar-Rahman, 55th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 14 and 15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding the creation of the jinn, says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفَخَّارِ وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارِ. He, Allah created man of dried clay, like an earthen vessel, And he, Allah, created jinn from fire, clear of smoke. Now you can imagine, from fire, clear of smoke. Or smokeless fire. So these are the two ayat of the Quran in which the creation of the jinn has been mentioned. In the above two ayat of the Quran, clear reference is made to the original substances of which men and jinn are created. Man is made of clay, or call it earth. Earth when it is dried up and it becomes like a pottery, like a clay pot. Brothers, you know what the fragility, take that in its literal sense. A clay pot, dried pot, is very fragile. Drop it and it breaks. Now take the human being, aren't we the same? We are just as fragile. Man is made of clay, meaning earth, and jinn is made of fire. Man is therefore heavier. He is less mobile and also prone to injury. Man is subject to numerous drawbacks and defects. He consequently has to strive harder and struggle more in order to survive on earth. He is, however, endowed with the ability to do so, as the Quran says, and I recited earlier, وَلَكَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَا, and we have honored the children of Adam. We have given unto them, says Allah Ta'ala, many favors. We have blessed them with many favors. The word karramna means that Allah Ta'ala has blessed man with many gifts and many blessings and many favors which are special to man, special qualities of man. And these extend to no other creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. For example, man is created in the best shape. I want to give you an example so you can fully understand and comprehend how noble is man, how virtuous is man. Says Allah from this word, karramna, walakat karramna bani adama. For example, man is created in the best shape, in the best mold, with superior abilities such as his intellectual faculties and reasoning powers. Man has the ability to subdue, in other words, the rest of creation. Man has the ability to subdue, to suppress, to construct, to implement, to communicate, to invent, to travel, to talk, to write, to read, to learn, and to train others. These are special gifts unto man. وَلَكَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Though fire can scorch earth and destroy the environment, man can build it up again. He can rebuild it. He can reconstruct it, and he can restore earth. Man has other endowments as well. He has patience. He can endeavor. He is able to persist. Look at the following aspect of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored Adam, or honored man. Man is the only creation of Allah ta'ala that sits and eats his food with his hand, decently and respectably. Only man chooses, prepares, mixes, and cooks his food selectively. Anybody else in creation does this? Man sits respectably. He recites his du'as. He thanks and praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the rizq which Allah has bestowed upon him. And then he sits down properly. He sits down to have his meals. How are his meals prepared? Properly. That particular meal has been carefully chosen, carefully prepared, carefully cooked. The various ingredients have been brought together and mixed in proper proportion. Sufficient potatoes, sufficient onions, sufficient pieces of meat, and so forth and so on. Everything. This is a gift of man. This is a blessing. No other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares their meals so selectively, their meals. Man has a great variety of food to choose from. He knows exactly what to choose. Thousands of varieties. He's the only one that has this gift. He knows what to eat and what not to eat. Now look at this wise favor on man from his creator and sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Angels are endowed with wisdom and intelligence. But animals only have desires and sexual urges. The malaikas have wisdom and intelligence. That is their gift. That is their particular speciality. That is their nature and their disposition. They have intelligence. They have wisdom. Animals have desires and sexual urges. But look at man. Man is a composition of all of these, which he in turn, in other words, he has wisdom, he has intelligence, he has desires, and he has sexual urges. All these qualities that are to be found in man and jinn, all these qualities have been taken and put into man. He has all the qualities of angels and of the jinns. And in turn, he has got to use these as taught and instructed by his creator to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As long as man is ruled and governed by divine laws designed for his disposition and his nature by his creator and sustainer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only then will he be successful. When he begins to disobey, then he seeks his self-destruction. But now let us look at the jinns who are made of fire. We're coming to the comparison. Now look at the jinns who are made of fire. What potentials and endowments do they possess? We already know that jinns are created of smokeless fire, as mentioned in the Quran, min nari samum and min marijim min nar. Taking this Quranic fact and reading it in conjunction with numerous ahadith on the subject, we learn that jinns, firstly, they are invisible. That they are undetectable and undiscernible by man. When they approach us, we have to accept this. We cannot detect them. We cannot discern them. They are totally invisible to us. Since they are made of smokeless fire, look, if they were made of smoke, of fire, the smoke itself, then obviously we would see them, we would feel them, we would find their approach quite easy because they are made of smoke. But they are made of fire, but smokeless fire. The heat generated by that fire. So we cannot detect their approach. Since they are made of smokeless fire, they can adopt any form, human or animal. We're coming to very delicate stages, brothers. For me to have mentioned all the ahadith in this regard would have taken a lot of time. We would find it very difficult to complete these lessons in Ramadan. So what I'm doing is I'm mentioning the crux of these ahadith to you, the gist of it. Since jinns are made of smokeless fire, let us look at their qualities. So we can compare that with man. Since they are made of smokeless fire, they can adopt any form, human or animal form, any shape, beautiful or ugly, loving or menacing. And they can be of any size, large, gigantic, huge, and small and tiny, tiny weeny. They can approach from any side. They can approach man from any side, from left and right, as well as from the front and the back. And he will not detect them, nor their approach. They move, jinns move at tremendous speeds. Jinns can travel long distances in a relatively short time, in fact, in split seconds, from the one corner of the globe to the other end of the world, within split seconds, within the wink of an eye, jinns can move. They can transport heavy objects, light objects, obviously, you understand. But they can transport heavy objects over long distances, no problem to them. Jinns can stretch themselves as much as they want to. They can help and they can harm human beings. They live for very long periods, much longer than man. They have quarrels amongst themselves, they have fights, they have differences, and they have wars. They have families, they have a family life like man has. They can acquire learning and they can acquire skills both from amongst themselves and from human beings. There are many pious and learned jinns, many huffaz and many ulama, many awliya among the jinns. The pious jinns are very noble and honorable, and the ignorant ones are rebellious and troublesome. Amongst the jinns there are believers and unbelievers. The believing jinns are called Muslims, for they believe in and practice all the things that their human counterparts do. The unbelieving jinns are kafirs and mushriks, just like the human unbelievers. The rebellious and the villainous jinns who tempt and torment human beings are known as shayateen, which is the plural of shaitan. Since jinns are made of fire, they have great destructive capacities. They can dissolve into the bloodstream of human beings. They can enter the minds and the bodies of human beings. They can merge and they can speak through human beings, through plants, and through animals. Their voices can be heard from anywhere, through objects and things, animate as well as inanimate, from above and from below the earth, from tombstones, for example, from graves, from fountains, from lakes, and from sacred sanctuaries, and from numerous other sources and places. They can also whisper evil suggestions and instigate ideas into the thoughts of human beings. They can stir the emotions of human beings, and they can excite the passions of men. And they can work on the vanity and the ego and the pride of men. We see, therefore, that jinns have remarkable adaptive qualities and abilities. They have ingenious qualities and abilities. They have impressive characteristics. Yet we know that in spite of all the things that I have mentioned to you, that men are their superiors.